If you're a pastor, elder, deacon, nonprofit, board member, or business owner, I need you to listen to this. K&K Furnishings needs to be on your short list. K&K Furnishings are committed to helping you find the right furnishings for your church or organization. These guys specialize in quality worship seating, welcome centers, cafes, nurseries, classrooms, as well as stage and podium furnishings. The two owners have over 70 years of combined pastoral experience, so not only will every transaction be handled with integrity and professionalism, but they have the experience to provide you with the perfect solutions for your furniture needs, and they absolutely understand your budget constraints and demands. K&K Furnishings are devoted to providing you quality pieces that save you money. They can do this because they don't have the overhead of a brick and mortar store, and they have relationships with over 200 manufacturers nationwide. Look, we all know there's a lot of junk out there. K&K understands that many times bargains aren't true money savers. They end up costing you more in the long run. At K&K, they believe that quality furnishings don't have to be outrageously expensive. And here's the best part. K&K Furnishings sells nationally and can also provide in-person consultations in Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. If you can't meet in person, they'd be happy to set up a Zoom consultation for you today. So whatever your next project is, whether it's your home office or your church sanctuary, K&K Furnishings is the only place you need to look. Go to www.kkfurnishings.com to see how they can help you, or call 567-318-4520. That's www.kkfurnishings.com, or call 567-318-4520, or click on the link in the description of this episode. K&K Furnishings, furnishing business, education, worship, and hospitality for the glory of God. Hey guys, before we get into this week's episode, I gotta tell you about Jacob's Supply. Jacob's Supply is the place you gotta go for all of your material needs. These guys bring you construction supplies and appliances for up to 50% off retail price, all brand new. You a home builder? Need some lumber? Jacob's Supply has you covered. You a deacon at your church and you're in charge of that next Narthex floor job? Jacob's Supply has got you. Heck, they got Cortec Luxury Vinyl Plank right now for $3.59 a square foot. Go look that stuff up at Lowe's or Home Depot, man. That stuff is selling for $7 to $8 a square foot. That's over 50% off retail. Even if you just have some home projects you're working on, Jacob's Supply is the place for you. I just built an outdoor grilling area this spring for that old smoker and grill. Guess where I got the metal roof, lumber, and screws? Yeah, that's right, Jacob's Supply. Looking for a fridge, stove, washer, dryer? They got them all, and they're name brand. Samsung, Bosch, Frigidaire, all 20, 30, 40% off retail. Brand new and ready for you. Located in Temperance, Michigan, it's worth it to stop by even if you're a few hours away. And remember, Jacob's Supply can ship products nationally too. So even if you're out of state, you got to check them out. Follow them on Facebook at Jacob's Supply or call them direct at 734-224-0978. That's 734-224-0978. Remember, Jacob's Supply, quality building materials at wholesale prices. And now, on to the show. Exploring theology, doctrine, and all of the fascinating subjects in between, broadcasting from an undisclosed location, Dead Men Walking starts now. Oh, well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Moore. Thanks for coming along on the ride. Thanks for sharing with a friend. Thanks for going to dmwpodcast.com. Checking us out there. We've got a merch site as well. You can support the show. Pick up a snarky t-shirt, a mug, something like this here that if you're watching on YouTube right now, the Dead Men Walking Podcast mug. We appreciate it. It helps us do things like go to conferences, get guests, put out content. So we do appreciate that. And actually, when you're listening to this, it'll be about 3 weeks until we get to the Why Calvinism Conference down in Tullahoma, Tennessee. And we'll be doing some live podcasting there. So be looking out for that. So let's get right into it, because usually, I say a few words, or I, goof around a little bit on here and talk about something, but I want to get right into it with our guest. I'm going to read the official bio here. Okay. He's a servant of Christ, husband, father, foster parent. He's been in ministry of some kind for 25 years. Gardner Webb U alum, elder pastor at FBC Newton, co-host of the Truth and Love podcast. Love those guys over there. Co-host of the Laborers podcast, another good one you need to check out. Founder of Truth and Love Network, which has a whole bunch of great podcasts on it. And he fixes water lines for a living and loves family history. It's Robert. Robert, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Now, make sure that you say the last name so we get it right, because I think I was going to mispronounce it. How do you say the last name?
Knipe.
Knipe. Okay, yeah, I would have said it wrong. Knipe. Absolutely. I've watched some of your stuff when you're doing stuff with Claude Ramsey, who's been on the show before. I've seen some of the live streams you guys do. I've listened to a few episodes over the last year or so, but I'm really not too personally familiar with you. So I wanted to have you on the podcast so we could just talk about, one, what it is that you're doing over there in the Truth and Love Network. What it is to be in podcasting. How do we view that? Is it a ministry? Is it something extracurricular? And I thought, no better person than you, who's been around it for a while and who does a really good job and puts out a lot of good content. But before we do that, for our listeners, can you introduce yourself? Give us a little short bio. I know I introduced you, but give us the origin stories of Robert.
So, yeah, that was a really short but succinct and very good bio. I can't add much more to that. I started podcasting around January 2020, right before COVID, right before anybody knew anything about COVID. I tried to scroll back through all the videos and see what the actual date was. So it was right before COVID is when I started. And we'll probably get into this because our subject is going to be podcasting. And so I'm sure we'll get into my philosophy of podcasting and why the network and why we do what we do. But I was just like so many other of us. We have Facebook. We're scrolling through Facebook. We're in Facebook groups. And at that time, it doesn't seem to be as popular now as it was then. But in these Facebook groups popping up on my feed, I would see all these folks going live in these groups, and they would be selling their wares live. And you could purchase them, you know, live, whatever. And it was just an array of different products. Mm. And so many people were doing it. And I was like, I can do that. I mean, Facebook is free. It allows you to go on there live or record or whatever. You can put a video on Facebook. I can get on Facebook. I can get in these groups and I can share Jesus with my community. And so that's at the origin. And still to this day, I think my focus and my heart is for my community.
Okay.
And reaching out to everyday church going folks.
Yeah.
That's who I'm thinking about. And so that's kind of how I started. I was like, I can do that. I can get on there. I was looking for an outlet anyway. And so I wasn't looking for a platform. I wasn't trying to, copy anybody else or follow anybody else's, way of ministry. I was just looking for an outlet, and there it was.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of in the same boat with you. We started this podcast. I had a co-host at the time, April 2020. So it was right about a month after I was, as a real estate broker, the governor said I was non-essential. So I had about a nice 12-week vacation there, and I said, well, let's start a podcast. And now we're coming into our fourth year this year. So, absolutely. It's cool when the Lord provides you those opportunities. And what kind of stuff are you guys talking about on the podcast, on the Laborers podcast, and also co-hosting the Truth and Love podcast?
So I guess we're still trying to figure out our niche. So we have done book studies, books of the Bible, chapter by chapter. We've been trying to hit some of the hotter topics within, it seems like, probably our circles. Eschatology, the gift of the Spirit, and also going back to Scripture. After we do those more topical podcasts, it seems like on my podcast, I would do the Truth and Love or the Laborers podcast with the collaborators in the Truth and Love Network.
Yeah.
But then on the Truth and Love podcast, I co-host with Dan. We seem to tackle more of the books and go through the books where we break down where we get our doctrines from in those topical podcasts that we do.
No, that's good. So what is the Truth and Love Network for those listening? What is it when you say I have a podcast network?
Okay. So the Truth and Love Network was kind of birthed out of, and for lack of creativity, it carried over the name of our podcast, started with and of course, even that podcast transitioned with different names, but then it birthed into a network because the Lord so graciously and out of his kindness brought other brothers like he's doing now, you know, with you and I, who are other podcasters, other content creators, brought them into my life. And they graciously accepted the offer to collaborate. And so it started out as a collaboration. Hey, let's get together and do a podcast on a certain night, and we'll talk about different things. And the collaboration podcast, of course, developed into the network.
Yeah.
To where we, of course, we have a chat room. We pray for one another, support one another, love on one another, support each other's, you know, person in their personal life, on their podcasting. And so that's basically what we do in our network, is really love and support one another in what we're doing in our ministries, and then come alongside one another ministering together. And sure. One of those things, you talk about an upcoming conference that you're having in the same general area in Eastern Tennessee. We're going to be, you mentioned Claude Ramsey, we're going to be at his church, a Reformata Baptist church, at the end of April. Last weekend of April, we're going to have our second laborers conference. Awesome. So we're looking forward to that. You can check more out at laborersconference.com.
Are tickets still on sale for that? Available?
It is actually a free conference.
Oh, wow.
You've heard the old saying, you know, you get what you pay for, but I promise these guys are quality guys.
Yeah.
And the free aspect of it comes from those of us who have been going to conferences and traveling with youth groups for many years, and everything costs so much, travel expenses. Yeah. And we want to do our part in offering good content, good preaching, great fellowship, worshiping the Lord together at no cost to the best of our ability. So we're having to raise some funds for the travel costs and all, but there's no ticket prices. Seating is limited. So we'd encourage you to register if you are interested in coming. And you can do that at the website, laborersconference.com.
Laborersconference. And we'll link that up. So we'll make sure that that is attached to this episode here, so people can just click through if they're interested. So I'm always interested in asking this question, especially to someone who's either elder, teaching elder, or pastor at or of a church. And this is going to get us into our broader subject here, which is, how do you view podcasting? Because I was just talking to a gentleman, Keith Foskey. I think you might know him. Maybe you know him through Claude. He's been on the podcast a few times. And we were talking in a group chat on our phones, and he was talking about, does he view it as a ministry? Is it a paraministry? Is it part of what he does as a pastor? And then even saying, for those who aren't pastors, such as myself, who are you know, walking through the Word and talking about theological and doctrinal issues and things like that, how do I view it? And that was something where I started out, you know, 4 years ago, and I just went, oh, well, I'm just, you know, I want to interview people that are interesting, that I can learn from, that pique my interest, that might be able to explain something to people that they don't necessarily understand. And I've always said it's like cheating for me. It's like getting another sermon every week. You know, when you have guys like James White or a Claude Ramsey or yourself, or you know, even people who you disagree with a little bit, but look at their perspective, like Sam Storms, or we have guys from Ligonier on. I mean, the list goes on and on. Doug Wilson, all these guys. And I go, well, geez, I rather enjoy just sitting here and asking questions and getting great answers. And but also at the same time going, well, there is some type of responsibility that I have as the audience grows and people listen and comment and send in questions or comments. I'm kind of wrestling with, well, then how do you kind of view that? I was wondering, as a pastor, how do you view the podcast that you either host or co-host? Are you looking at it as part of is it a official ministry or non-official ministry, or what do you think?
So it depends on how you define those categories.
Sure.
You know, a 501c3 or not. See, I've started off trying to use everything as inexpensively as possible. So I have, you know, inexpensive equipment. The Lord has graciously advanced technology, and you can just jump on here and you know, do it free if you wanted to. You know, be on YouTube or Facebook and do it all for free, and you can do it inexpensively if you wanted to. And we may incorporate so many answers from your questions here into this one segment.
We started with the big one up front.
Yeah, the big one up front. And before I forget, I'm glad you mentioned Keith Foskey. He's actually part of our network, and he's going to be preaching Sunday morning at the Laborers Conference.
There you go.
At Reformata Baptist.
All comes full circle.
So, absolutely. So how I view it, I was trying to think, come up with a definition of Christian ministry. And I said it like this: any act of service to glorify God in the name of Christ. Okay. And so I'm sure you've heard preaching that says all Christians are ministers of some kind. You can minister in everything that you do. And of course, there's different categories of ministries, different levels of ministry, vocational. Some people nowadays don't even like to use the word vocational ministry. But vocational, where you do it full time, you get paid, or voluntary. All these things are ministry, service to others, to glorify God in the name of Jesus. Yeah. And so that's what we're doing as podcasters. It's not to, and I was talking to a gentleman who may be interested in coming onto the network, and I was telling him, look, I know, and all the guys in the network know, your family comes first. Yeah. Your church is your number one priority. This is supplemental, even as a contributor to the podcast. Your contribution to the Laborers podcast, that where we collaborate together, is a no guilt, come when you're available podcast, because your life busy, you have other priorities. And so you have to be mindful of that.
Yeah.
But if you do this, I see it as a ministry. I see it as a wonderful ministry, a way to supplement, a way to reach people that may otherwise not be reached. Sure. And you reach people that I can't reach. You touch people that I can't touch, and so on and so forth, vice versa. And that's the same way with the guys in my network, or our network. You've got a guy in Colorado, guy in New York, two in Florida, two in South Carolina, two in Tennessee, several here in North Carolina. You know, we're all over the place.
Yeah.
And so we're supporting one another, in reaching people that we normally may not have been able to reach otherwise.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how technology can be used for good or evil. It's like, for everything mm-hmm. you hear about, phones and the access to stuff you mm-hmm. have on there, and what can be used for the flesh. Technology mm-hmm. it can also be used to glorify God, and like you said, mm-hmm. very inexpensively reach a wide audience of people. Advance the kingdom, preach the gospel, glorify God, and all those things. And I'm amazed by that as well, too. But I'm also, the longer I've been doing this, I get, there's a seriousness about it, because there is, a type of accountability when you're speaking on a microphone, or if someone's listening to you weekly or biweekly or monthly or whatever it is, there is a responsibility that I have started to take a lot more seriously. With maybe the way I say something, or the jokes I make, or the content that I'm covering, or and I think that's good, because I think we should be that way anyway, right? When we're out in public, when we're around non-believers, believers, right, whatever, right? We're always reflecting Christ. So I've taken that seriously. The other issue I had with when I started a podcast, and let me know if you felt the same way about this, Robert, was, I knew some young guys that would almost substitute their pastor's sermons for the podcast that they wanted to listen to. And in a few mm-hmm. cases, I had some guys that were not going to church, but they're like, hey man, I'm getting it in my podcast. I'm still getting the sermon in, right? And I've said many times mm-hmm. on this podcast, if you're listening to this podcast, you're a believer and you're not in a church, go to a Bible believing church, submit yourself under authority to your pastors and elders as the Bible calls you to do. That's the number one thing. Don't be listening to me or anyone else, in substituting that for your shepherd. And I had a real issue with not wanting to be, want to make sure that I'm not part of that group. Not that I think anyone's, I'm so great, they're just listening to me. I'm saying in general, okay. Mm-hmm. You see a generation where, look at, Gen Z and the younger millennials leaving churches, not going back, watching their videos, listening to their podcasts. And it's just tough, because as podcasters too, and you're in the ministry, you're a pastor and an elder as well. They need to be in fellowship with other believers in real life mm-hmm. under the authority of a pastor and elder. So was that something you thought about as well too? Also just being a pastor, and you're talking and probably counseling and leading people spiritually that are not members of your church. Do those things kind of roll around in your head when you started podcasting, or was it, no, I look at this, like you said, it's just an extension of a ministry of who we're all called to be in Christ.
Absolutely. And I've been thinking about this for a while, and this is one of the reasons why I sent this as a option to talk about, because I think this is such an important conversation to have. And I really think that, not because of my influence or anything like that, I think this conversation is going to come up maybe in higher levels of our Christian conferences or higher platforms in podcasting. I really do think this conversation is going to come up. And I really like the word that you use, responsibility. You talked about the listeners. No exception, podcaster or listener, just like I mentioned before, your priorities, your family, your home church, whether that's your time or your money, that's your priority.
Yeah.
The conversation that I think we need to have, because you were talking about the listener, and podcasters have a lot of influence on those, especially those listeners that you were talking about who really listen and maybe listen to podcasts more than they do their sermons. And I have been influenced by podcasts.
Sure.
And been influenced by TV ministries. And I really think that many of us who are podcasting now, if we were to sit down and talk, I think we would have very similar stories about how we got to where we are. I really think that we would, similar influences. But the conversation that I think we need to have is responsibility, and where your heart was and what you were talking about. And I don't know the solution, but and I don't know that there really is one, because we're not a church. We're all doing our separate ministries. So I really think it's going to come from the same spirit that we have living within each of us is going to have to steer us all in the same direction toward this responsibility, because we're not going to form some kind of hierarchy where we're responsible to somebody. So it's going to take a lot of personal responsibility and maturity that you were talking about. Because I understand where people are coming from, where and I think it's a good thing, and I think it's needed, where your personal church, whether you're a member or whether you're an elder at that church, they're aware of your podcast, they're aware of your ministry, they support your ministry, and that you're accountable to the elders. Yeah. However, how many of those elders have time to, you know, listen to your content, make sure you're staying on the right track? That's where I think this brotherhood of Christian podcasters is so important, and these networks, because my brothers in my network are free to call me out. Mm-hmm. They're free to keep me in line and help grow me in maturity in Christ, in my sanctification, and make sure that I'm staying on the right track when I'm creating this content that I'm putting online, where members of the church or your elders in your church may not have that time to invest in that. And so that's why one of your questions is, how important is the unity among podcasters and networks? I think it is necessary that we become unified and that we become a part of these networks, and these networks find some kind of connection with one another, so that we find some kind of accountability with one another. We find support with one another, because I'm thankful. I'm really thankful that many of you guys that are podcasting, God has graciously gifted you with wonderful voices. Literally, your voice is wonderful, made for radio, made for TV. You're well studied. You speak well. You communicate well, and God has gifted so many podcasters with that ability. And it's turned into, support me, give to Patreon so that you can support my podcast. And it's become part of your living. And God is allowing podcasters to use that to help support their families. And that's wonderful. That's a wonderful ministry to have. I don't want to take anything away from that. But ultimately, it's not about platform. It's about Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
And so if we can support one another, I know, if it's okay to name some names, and
no, go ahead.
And I think this is where we'd have some commonality. Ray Comfort,
yeah.
Way of the Master Radio, Todd Friel. Todd Friel has given a lot of these guys that we love and support now. Todd gave these guys platform because he had them on his television and radio show. And, that's where they got their platform. And so I think we all need to be supporting one another. And I want the Dead Man Walking podcast to have a great platform. I want them to be glorifying God and reaching as many people as possible. And I think, you have the heart for that type of heart for other podcasters. You know, that's why you have, you know, somebody like me who has a very small platform. You're having somebody like me, a brother in Christ, on because we want to support each other, because it's about Christ. It's about the gospel. It's about the kingdom. And that's our main objective. And yeah. So unity in conquering for the kingdom, and accountability with one another, where we can speak to each other in love and keep each other on the right track. I think that's a wonderful reason why we should seek unity in our podcasting, in our networks.
Yeah, no, those are all really good points. You know, I would say in the broader sense, okay, so you can like narrow down and go within kind of the Reformed Calvinistic podcast world. I see a really tight unity, even between my Presbyterian and Anglican mm-hmm. and Baptist brothers. Even when you zoom out a little bit and you get into podcasts that really are focusing on the orthodoxy, they believe in the Orthodox Christianity. I'm not talking about some of those fringe ones that are out there doing crazy stuff. There's still pretty good unity there too. And I love to see that. I go, hey, mm-hmm. the more I tell everyone, hey, yeah, start a podcast. If you're preaching the word mm-hmm. or talking about the true gospel of Jesus Christ as written in the Holy Scripture, yeah, let's do it. That's one of the ways we combat the culture too. When you go into mm-hmm. Apple 200 Christian podcasts, and out of the top 200, I'm looking at 75 to 90 of them that are solid Reformed brothers in the Lord. And half of those I know personally. You go, yeah, this is a good thing. Let's keep doing that. Let's keep making mm-hmm. sure your network grows. And you have to hear what I'm saying here too. So I'm not saying for recognition or for platform right. or for popularity, because right. that was a big thing with me with starting with this is, you know, I've always been very independent, kind of do my own thing. I'm my own real estate broker. I ran for county commissioner here. I do that. I've got these things where I kind of, and I'm in things where I'm front facing, right? And I'm fine with talking in front of people. But the one thing, and I don't mind talking to someone and going, yeah, I'm the best darn realtor you probably ever work with. Let's get this thing done. That's not bragging. That's me confident in my 15-year craft. But when I came to speaking about the Word of God, right, I was very humbled when I started thinking about starting a podcast, because I don't want to mess with this in any way, and I definitely don't want to get any type of notoriety when God is supposed to be getting the glory. That's why we sign off on this podcast. Mm-hmm. The chief end of man is yeah. to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Okay, that's my chief end here, is glory to God. It's not for me or anything else. And I've seen in the 4 years, I've seen plenty of, 4 years is a short time in podcasting. I've seen plenty of guys start a podcast, not get to the mega numbers that they wanted, and then just stop and go, oh, well, because in their mind, they thought, oh, I was going to have this platform. I'm going to have this voice. People will look at me a certain right. way, right? Which I think is all the wrong reasons to do it. People ask me, they go, geez, you put out 1 to 2 pieces of content, you know, every week for the last 4 years, and you run a business, and you have a family, and you elected office, and this year I'm running again. I just got to start the campaign, golf outings up and stuff like that. How do you do it? And I go, well, I just enjoy talking about God. I enjoy knowing Him. It's a passion. You could sit me down and go, what would you rather do? You know, A or B, talk about God and with a group of 15 guys for the next 4 hours. Yeah, let's do that. That's where I love mm-hmm. to debate and to talk and to discuss, right? So it's something that naturally has passion, why I enjoy doing it. And I think that's a big part of podcasting, especially within the believer space, is there has to be a passion to talk about, know, and love God to be able to speak to that with passion, instead of going, oh, I got to put out another episode. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? What hot button issue will get me some likes? It's like, it's none of that, man. Right. I don't care if one person's yeah. listening or 100,000 people are listening. I'm going to talk to who I want to talk to, ask the questions, and glorify God in the end of it. And I feel that that's you right. guys have the same heart over there too. Which is why I think we connect on so many levels, because when I jump into your guys' lives on Facebook, I find myself being there for 20, 30 minutes and going, geez, I'm getting a sermon here, man. These guys are rocking through the word right now. And no matter what it is that you're talking about, it's edifying. It's edifying to my spirit, and God's being glorified.
Praise the Lord.
So I guess I say all that. I'm sorry, I'm being a little wordy here, but I'm saying all that I do agree that the unity is key. I think mm-hmm. the podcast networks are key. I think that's a big thing. I guess I would transition into, what do you think the state of podcasting is now when you look at the landscape of podcasting in general versus 5 years ago or even 10 years ago? Heck, I was an early adopter of podcasts. People didn't even know what they were, and I was downloading them off my iTunes, transferring them to an iPod 15 years ago, and they're going, what? You're listening to a radio with that's not the radio? You know? And I fell in love with them instantly. That and iTunes University, which they took away from us. I watched a 16-part series from Oxford Professor on C.S. Lewis, and it was all free. And it's the same education you're paying $100,000 for over in the UK, and I'm watching it for free, you know. So my whole point was, what do you look at, when you look at the landscape, where do you think it's going? Where do you think it is now? Are we in good shape? Are we in bad shape? I don't know. What are your feelings on it?
I think it's up to us. I think we're in our infancy, and it goes back to a lot of what we were just saying about responsibility, about maturity, about coming together. I think podcasting is in its infancy. I think technology is just going to continue to boom, to grow, to advance, and we're going to be able to utilize it even more and more. But what we're doing is in its infancy, and that's why this conversation is so important right now, I believe. And that we continue to have it. What are we going to do as Christian podcasters? Are we going to compete with one another? Are we going to support one another and build each other up and point to Christ in our unity? We're talking about unity. Do we all have to believe the same thing? No. In the Truth and Love Network, we have Reformed Baptists who are cessationists and continuationists. We have a gentleman who's an ordained minister in the Church of God, yet he has a super high view of scripture, conservative guy, and we have wonderful fellowship with him. And so we see unity in Christ, knowing that there's substance to what I'm saying when I say unity in Christ. It's not something that's shallow.
Yeah.
And so I think we're in our infancy in where podcasting is right now and our communication. We don't want to neglect our family, our church, our face-to-face evangelism, but so many people are on social media, are online, and use this to supplement whatever, everything.
Yeah.
And this is our marketplace, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that this conversation needs to continue, and I think it's up to us. And I would really love for us to get ahead of this thing and help each other go in the right direction. Part of that conversation, a sister conversation of what we're having tonight is what we see online where, you know, we grow in so many different areas in our theologies, and our theologies change, like my theology and doctrine has changed over the years. And we're familiar with the term cage state. So many people become cage days when they learn a new doctrine and they begin to hold tight to it, and they want everybody else to hold to it as well.
Yeah.
And then we form these groups and find unity in people who are yes men and, you know, have the same doctrine or philosophy that they do. And then we want to jump on people who don't believe the same thing that we do, or people who we once loved, like John MacArthur. And, you know, when we first become Calvinists, you know, he was our hero, but then we become post-mill. Oh, he's dispensational. We got to get rid of John MacArthur. He's, you know, he's bad. Why do we do that?
Yeah.
Why don't we continue to love and lift up our brothers, no matter, you know, these secondary theological issues?
I totally agree with you. And I do see that a lot, to where we like to kind of put it in little boxes and separate them out and say, well, you're in this camp, you're in that camp. I'm in a weird situation too, to where I find myself, much like you, having a broad spectrum of friends and guests on, from, you know, you get the Joel Webbins and the Doug Wilson, and I'm part of the Fight, Laugh, Feast network with the Cross Politic guys, to the Claude Ramseys and the Keith Foskeys, to the Josh Boyce has been on, to Askell has been on, to, you know, Ligonier guys have been on. And it's like, look at, man, if we can believe in these core tenets here, okay, some of these secondary issues are just that. They're secondary issues. And the Lord will set us straight when we're in glory one day. But if you believe in the core tenets, the orthodoxy of Christianity, I can have a conversation with you and I can call you a a brother or sister in the Lord. And I wish there was a little bit more of that, because what I see a lot of believers, and especially in social media, if you're on Twitter X, if you're on Facebook, if you're on Instagram, you see them just kind of squaring off into their little camps, right? And then it's your camp versus my camp. And then it's also, we need to realize as podcasters as well, because, you know, when you host a show and you've been doing it a while, such as yourself, you do, whether you want to admit it or not, you do have some influence over the, if you say something, there's someone out there listening going, huh, is that what Robert thinks? Okay, I should look into that or shouldn't. And they have to realize that no one man has the perfect theology, just like your example with MacArthur, right? You know, because I was a big in my 20s, in the early 80s video of R.C. Sproul in his red seersucker suit and his fro, when he's out there doing the professor thing and he's injustice versus injustice and he's breaking it all down. That marked my life, man. I mean, I watched those and studied those and absolutely devoured those and loved him as a brother in the Lord. And then, you know, and then you, one day you find out, what, he was a Thomas? He was a, he had some weird, why is that bad? What's going, oh, wait, because he was into, you know, philosophy and he's not a, you know, it's a secondary issue, but no one is perfect and everyone has a problem with someone on one little issue. I mean, there was only one person that had perfect theology and that was Christ, right, here on earth. So, I'm agreeing with you too that, yes, the, like you said before, the unity is important, but also too the kind of not divvying up in camps just for camp's sake. And you want to know what? And let truth be the divider. Let the word of God, the word of truth, divide what is right and wrong. Not that's my guy and that's your guy, so I'm going to go to battle for my guy. Because you see that a lot, too, with some of these bigger names. Mm-hmm. You know, Doug Wilson puts something out, or James White may say something. And then you got the Wolves on Christian nationalism. Mm-hmm. And then everyone has to start gearing up on sides. And we go, well, what does the word of God say? Right? Maybe that's what we should stand on. Especially as podcasters that are talking about this every week, we should have that attitude, right?
Exactly. And yeah, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to name the podcast network, you know, Truth and Love, because we don't want to be in either ditch the whole time. We want to be in the middle, speaking truth and love to one another and to our listeners. And I don't know how you feel about this, but I said this many, many years ago, teaching Sunday school to my Sunday school class, because it's always been so popular to say, well, we can just agree to disagree. And to me, that was just a way to brush off an issue.
Sure.
Say, oh, we can just agree to disagree. I'm like, no, I don't want to say that anymore. It's exactly like you just said. Jesus was the only one with perfect and is the only one with perfect theology. And so there is a truth out there that is black and white.
Yeah.
None of us are perfect. We're not there yet. But I want to agree to eventually agree. And I want you to help me on my journey to get there.
Yeah, that's good.
We can talk with one another. We can disagree. We can sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. We can go through scripture. But eventually, I want to be working on this with you. And I'll just say, I agree to disagree, and which is an easy brush off of the conversation.
Yeah. All right. So as we kind of put bookends on this here, we've both been doing this you are 4 years. I'm coming up on 4 years in a couple months. What has been the most popular, and we're talking, you know, we both talk about theology, doctrine. I'm sure you guys get into probably culture and politics a little bit if you need to, because they're so closely intertwined now. What are some of the most popular doctrinal or theological issues that you've seen over the 4 years that you've been podcasting that have kind of rose to the top and become important to listeners, or you felt important to talk about?
So what's been most popular, the most viewed, the most popular listeners is the issues that have been the most popular or the most relevant at the time topics within, you know, I would say our circles. The cessationism, continuation argument, the postmillennial argument, the theonomy argument, Christian nationalism argument.
Yeah,
those have gotten our most views, and that's fine. It's just us having our own conversation about it, working through it together with one another. And to me, the content is important. But for me and for us, talking about the content and how we talk about the content with one another is just as important as the content itself.
Yeah.
And that's what I want people to see from the network is whatever the topic, whatever the content might be, it's how we speak to one another in that content.
Yeah.
Whether we agree or disagree.
I'll tell you what's crazy is I was just thinking about this about a week ago. If you would have told me in the mid 90s, and I grew up in church and said the sinner's prayer at 7, but the Lord saved me at 24, as I always say, and went to a very kind of legalistic church when I was younger. And then in my teens, a much more, it was Pentecostal and associated with kind of the Bethel movement, stuff like that. So I've seen the spectrum at both ends. If you'd have told me in the mid 90s, like there would be this huge resurgence in 30 years of just reformed Calvinistic theology, not only that, but church history battling back at what is the charismatic Pentecostal movement that's only about 120 years old and seeing people shift away from that, I would have said you're crazy, because the 80s and 90s and even the early 2000s America that I grew up with, it was like everyone was Pentecostal and charismatic. I mean, you had charismatic Catholics. Even when you weren't part of the Baptist church, you were a Baptist light, and you believed in the gifts and speaking in tongues. And it was, you're just, and we're still saturated with it. I'm not saying, you know, it's completely flipped, but how much the needle has moved with people actually waking up and saying, you know, let's read this and see what's in here. Let's see if the Bible actually talks about a second baptism and that tongues is the only proof of baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's see what that has to say. And then actually doing a little research, like, and I'm actually here, a little free plug for Jeffrey Rice. That's a Jeffrey Rice rebind right there that I'm holding up. But let's see what it actually says. And I see people really through, I think this has a lot to do with podcasting, and I could be wrong, but I have talked to more people in the last 5 to maybe 8 years that know more about church history and Bible history and kind of what the word actually says and not just believing their church traditions they were brought up in, than I have in my whole entire life. And I think it really has to do with, you can go online now and you can go click on Truth and Love. And guess what? They're talking about these issues. They're opening up a Bible and doing it in an entertaining way. And I'm not saying that you have to be entertaining to preach the word. I'm saying it draws people in. They get to know you. They see you every week. You know, all these things. I just think it's a beautiful thing to where I believe, and look, I don't have any national polls to back it up, or maybe I could find some, but I'm usually right about these things. There is a shift to biblical truth in the culture within believers. And Gen Z is actually one. There is a poll that came out, and Gen Z says, well, we don't really go to church, but they are much more doctrinally sound and spiritual, meaning they actually look and see what the Bible says. Now, I don't think that's right. I think they need to be in fellowship as well. But it tells me that Gen Z is looking for truth. And they're going, you want to know what? The traditions of man haven't worked. The traditions of the church haven't worked. I need to see what the Word of God is saying. And when you have podcasters doing that day in, day out, week in, week out, such as yourself, myself, other people, I think slowly but surely, in the grace of God, it moves the needle towards truth. And I'm telling you that I've seen that just in personal conversations with people. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I talk to people that had been dormant in the church for 20 years. And in the last 5 years, they've woken up. Now, maybe that's also cultural. There's cultural things going on, right? The COVID stuff really woke people up. The trans stuff, the pagan culture that we live in, it's waking people up that were just kind of coaster Christians. And they took for granted the laws and the principles and the morality of God just because our country kind of abided by them a little bit. And was like, well, a man's a man and a woman's a woman. And, you know, men should protect women and chivalry and this. And we went, oh, yeah, that's good. And you could coast by as a Easter and Christmas Christian. And now their world is turned upside down. And they go, wait a minute, men can menstruate? Wait a minute, we can chop off the prepubescent breasts of 7-year-old girls and it's okay? Like, now they're going, hang on, what does the Bible say about that? And I think it's a good thing that we have guys like you and others that go every week, we're going to preach truth, no matter what cost. And I you know, not only in your church as a pastor preaching that, of course, that's the most important, but also extracurricularly doing it on social media in a platform where anyone can access it. So I thank you for that, Robert.
It's a big internet and we need as many people sharing the truth as possible. And yeah. at the beginning of the podcast, when I was telling you my heart goes out to my community, in my mind, my audience is me. You talked about the 80s and 90s, me in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
When I went to college and I began to take these religion classes, all these other students were 50, 100 miles ahead of me in their theological knowledge. I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? It's because of my where I grew up in church and not being taught. And so my audience is me in the 80s and 90s. I want people to hear the truth and know the truth and be able to say and be able to test what they're hearing with scripture and learn and grow in truth, knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that was so I'm 42. I'll be 43 this summer. And so I'm in an 80s/90s. So grew up in the 80s, but you know, to young teens and into high school in the 90s. And looking back on that, man, the evangelical culture was just a weird space. Cause like I said, I grew up too, where it was like, you know, when you're a little more fundamental, it's like, don't touch it. Don't look at it. Don't, you know, and ignore it. And it, hopefully it'll go away. And that's no way to raise children either, because then they get it into the actual world and they go, what the heck is all this? Right. And they can really go one of two ways, revert back into themselves or go totally extrovert and kind of do what I did and just try everything, do everything and rebel against God and go, I don't care. But my point is, you had like the moral majority, and I don't know if you remember like the Jerry Falwell and the moral majority, like, hey, we're going to get our way through voting blocks and things like that. Right. And I'm just, and I, you know, and I didn't really agree with that, which is funny to say as a locally elected official and who's also a believer. But I look back on that and I go, I thank God for the men who kind of plowed through that in the 80s and 90s and were building things into the 2000s. And now we're in 2024 and we have some really solid churches, some solid organizations that are godly, biblical, God-fearing. And I don't think they could have produced unless they had gone through that kind of 80s and 90s nonsense. That's kind of how I refer to it. It was just a, when you were, I'm saying not everyone, but I was in that, you know, the whole ATIA thing with Bill Gothard, we did that for a few years in homeschooling. It was a very weird time, late 70s to early 90s. It was like, everyone was freaking out about the culture and we just went, we went in one direction, you know? But I think it's good to see that we now have, like I said, organizations, churches, and stuff that I look at and I go, man, these are hardcore Bible believing, Christ preaching churches, and I think that's ultimately what changes the culture. I had a few a guy on a few months ago, and we're talking about Christian nationalism and theonomy, and I said, look at you can change all the laws you want, but the number one thing is to preach Christ crucified and repentance. That's what changes a nation through the working of the Holy Spirit, changing man's heart. And you know, I'm still there to this day, but, let's wrap this up here because, we could just go on forever, man. I love talking to you and you probably let me talk a little too much, for you being the guest, but so Truth and Love, Network, you got the podcast out there, throw it out there to everyone. Once more, we'll link it up. Where can they find all your stuff at? Throw it out for them.
You can find us on Facebook and YouTube, especially at Truth and Love Network on both platforms, Facebook and YouTube. Check out our website that has links to all of our content creators who are part of the network. There's a link on there if you're interested in becoming part of the network, seeing what we believe, what we kind of sign to. Like I said, family, their own personal church is number one. It's just kind of a document that kind of help hold us together. It's nothing really binding. But check us out at truthandlovenetwork.com. Check out our conference, laborsconference.com. If you are available to come the last week in April to Eastern Tennessee Reformado Baptist Church, Pastor Claude Ramsey's church, we would love to fellowship with you that weekend and see you at that conference. But Facebook, YouTube, Truth and Love Network, love awesome. To have you join me.
Yeah, we'll link all that up too, guys, in the episode. Just click in the description. You can find where you can find Robert at, where you can find the conference at. And I love it, man. The unity, absolutely. The accountability, which we didn't touch on too much, but the networks also help with accountability. I'm listening to some of our guys on our network and kind of nitpicking and saying, what was that? They do that to me. Kind of holds us to that higher standard that we really need to be held to. But ultimately, if you're listening, if you are a podcaster and you're listening, you should be under the authority of your shepherd as well, who is under the authority of Christ. We say that. first and foremost. Right. But Robert, so good to have you on, man. You're gonna have to come back. And I don't know, maybe we'll get into something specific instead of being a little more broad in subject over, you know, truth and love and podcasting and things like that. I'd love to have you on, and we'll just nitpick through a, I don't know, through a chapter or verse or something and go at it. How does that sound?
Nice. That'd be great. I was so blessed tonight to be with you, brother. I so appreciate you. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you too, man, and everything you do. And for my beard brush.
Absolutely.
Sent me one of your Truth and Love beard brushes. Used it this morning. It's up in the bathroom. I didn't bring it on. I should have brought it on the camera here. But you got some cool merch over there too. So we'll make sure we link that up. Guys, thanks so much for listening to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. We appreciate you so much. We thank you for your support, your comments, your constructive criticism, and supporting our sponsors as well. We have some new sponsors coming on in the next few weeks. They are great guys. I can't wait to tell you about them. That's how we build things. We support brothers and sisters in the Lord that own things, that build things. We want to do right by them because we know that they have the same worldview and values as we do. So we'll be talking about that pretty soon as well. Guys, as always, remember, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. God bless. Be sure to check us out at dmwpodcast.com, where you can purchase the best and snarkiest merch on the internet, support the show, and leave us a review or message. Dead Men Walking can be found on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Dead Men Walking Podcast, and on Twitter X at Real DMW Podcast. The Dead Men Walking Podcast is part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. For exclusive show content, be sure to download the PubDV app and become a member. If you're a business that needs to reach hundreds of thousands of potential customers in your demographic, podcast advertising might be for you. Send all inquiries to deadmenwalkingpodcast@gmail.com.
None your biscuits.